I'm Kyle Rice, awful test taker turned physical therapist and standardized test coach for over 5,000 physical therapists worldwide. It wasn't that long ago that I struggled with anxiety, lack of confidence, and the fear of failing the NPTE. Fast forward through the challenges, the 13 standardized test failures, and many lessons learned, and you'll see the life I have today, a life filled with love, financial freedom, and a dream job that allows me to change lives every single day. I created the NPTE Clinical Files podcast to give you simple, actionable strategies along with a step-by-step walkthrough of NPTE-based questions. All of this so that you can dominate your exam like I did and achieve your dream. So if you're a driven PT student who's looking to pass the NPTE and start creating a life you love, you're in the right place. Enjoy the show. For this week's clinical file, we have Tamia, and Tamia presents with an unspecified work-related injury to her right upper extremity. Upon examination, the patient demonstrates weakness in wrist flexion and loss of forearm pronation. The patient also exhibits a diminished brachial reflex and a positive Frommen sign. Which nerve is the least likely to be affected? So we have A, median nerve, B, ulnar nerve, C, musculocutaneous nerve, and D is posterior interosseous nerve. All right, let's go up to the top of this question. First of all, I want to say thank you for those that listened to a couple episodes ago. I gave 3 tips to absolutely crush the NPTE that you need to know. In that, I was definitely talking about a bit of my story, the struggles that I've gone through, and kind of reminding some people that have been listening for a while, but also welcoming some of our newcomers to the NPTE Clinical Files podcast. So I've gotten a ton of messages about that, just people pouring so much love and saying their specific stories and how it related to them. And I just want to say thank you so much for supporting this podcast. Thank you so much for being vulnerable. One of the things that my grandmother always told me, always used to say to me, is that there's victory in vulnerability. And I didn't know that until I really start reaching out to people for help that I could trust, getting into safe spaces and sharing my story and what hurt me and my traumas and all of that stuff, which allowed me to push through those traumas in PT school, which allowed me to push through those traumas that I had from childhood. And these things allowed me to grow as a professional. So I want to just say congratulations to those of you who are continuing to push through the obstacles, through the adversity, those of you who are getting help, those of you who are doing whatever it takes to dominate this NPTE and move on with the rest of your life. So congratulations on that. And then also for those of you who are at CSM, I am at CSM right freaking now. All right. The PT also has a booth. It's 15030. All right. So that's our booth. If you're here in Boston, the chilly, chilly Boston, come over to our booth. We would love to meet you. I would love to shake hands with you, hug you, just give you a lot of love, positive light. All right. So join us over here. And if not, we'll see you next year, huh? All right. Let's go up to the top of this question. This one says, Tamia presents with an unspecified work-related injury to her right upper extremity. Let's go ahead and stop on that first sentence. This is one of my strategies that I go in deeper detail with my coaching students, right? Where we read each sentence and we reflect on that to make sure that we understood it before moving on. So it says unspecified work-related injury to her right upper extremity. So we know that there's an injury to her right upper extremity, but we're not going to go and start assuming what that unspecified work-related injury is. We're just going to continue forward. It says upon examination, the patient demonstrates weakness in wrist flexion and loss of forearm pronation. Boom, let's stop there. There's some juicy stuff here. When they start giving you signs and symptoms on the NPTE, you better slow down because they're really trying to guide you to the right answer here. Okay, so it says weakness in wrist flexion. Okay, so I know that this is a nerve-related question because we went through the answer choices already, right? We read those. We see that the answer choices are all nerves. So this is a nerve-related question. What nerve is related to wrist flexion? And don't overthink this, all right? Don't start to like jam your brain and really overthink this. Like, what is the nerve that's primarily associated with wrist flexion? So you can think about some of the muscles that do that. But at the end of the day, all we're really trying to answer here is what nerve is associated with wrist flexion. So to me, I'm like, all right, this is more of the median nerve. The muscles that do wrist flexion are associated with that median nerve. So I know that the median nerve is likely an issue here. And then it says loss of forearm pronation. Well, think about the muscles that do forearm pronation, right? If you think about those muscles, you see that those muscles are innervated by what nerve? The median nerve. All right. So I'm already like, median nerve is impaired. Okay. Let's continue down the question. It says the patient also exhibits a diminished brachial reflex. Okay. Stop. Before we get head into something else, let's stop here. Diminished brachial reflex. So we know where that's done, right? If you're talking about the elbow, we're on the anterior side of the elbow. That's where we elicit that brachial reflex. Now tell me, what nerve is associated with the brachial reflex? Okay, now I'm not talking about nerve roots, right? I'm not talking about, okay, C5, C6, you know, that sort of thing. I'm talking about what nerve is that. And you can really think about it if you think of, okay, what nerve primarily innervates something like the brachialis or biceps brachii or the brachialis, right? What are those muscles really innervated by here? And you would say the musculocutaneous, right? So it says exhibited a diminished brachial reflex. So I know musculocutaneous nerve is also a nerve that's impaired. Okay, let's continue down the question. It says, and a positive Frahman sign. Are you familiar with that? Oh, this was something we learned in PT school. I love this one. This was one of my special tests that I absolutely loved. This is where we took a piece of paper, right? And you may need to go online and get a visual of this. I'm a visual type of guy. I love seeing visuals. But we used to take this piece of paper and you put it between the thumb, all right? And then the pad of the index finger, all right? And again, you may need to take a look on YouTube how to do this test. But anyway, you have the person, the patient, actually hold the paper in between the thumb and the pad of their index finger, okay, the side, all right? So it's more on that lateral side of the index finger. They're holding the paper. And then you try to remove that paper. And their goal is to hold it in place. Now, if we see that they can't do it or we see that they start to flex the distal interphalangeal joint of their thumb, then that means it's a positive test. Bottom line here, okay? You have time to go look that up and everything else, but bottom line, if somebody has a positive Frahman sign, what is that telling me? No, it's not just telling me that they have weakness of the flexor pollicis longus. No. There's something deeper than that. And it really comes down to this. It is a problem with the ulnar nerve. Who was thinking that? You need to give yourself a round of applause. That is a tough one, okay? So Frahman sign, if it is positive, that means that there's an impairment of the ulnar nerve, okay? That's one of the major tests for that. So it says which nerve is the least likely to be affected. Now, here's the thing. Where a lot of people will get a question wrong like this is they get so caught up in the signs and symptoms. Their brain is going like into this overthinking, assuming mode, and they miss the word least. Has that happened to you? Oh my gosh, that's happened to me, and I've missed so many questions before. All right, so it says which nerve is the least likely to be affected. For those of you on the podcast, let me go through the answer choices again. We have A, median nerve. B, ulnar nerve. C, musculocutaneous nerve. D, posterior interosseous nerve. We are about to destroy this question right now. Let's take a look. A says median nerve. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I do not like this as the answer because it says which nerve is the least likely to be affected. Well, in the question, it says that the patient has diminished weakness or they have weakness, I should say, in wrist flexion. And a loss of forearm pronation. So we know the median nerve is affected. I'm putting an X next to this one. Let's take a look at B. B says ulnar nerve. Well, I said in the question that they had put there a positive Frahman sign. Well, if it's positive, that means the ulnar nerve is likely impaired. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to put an X next to that answer because we're looking for which nerve is the least likely to be affected. All right. So A and B, X is next to them. Let's keep going. C, musculocutaneous nerve. All right. So as I'm looking at this, I'm like, okay, hold on a minute. If I go back up into the question, it does say the patient also exhibits a diminished brachial reflex. Is that associated with a musculocutaneous nerve? You should be like, yes, that is associated with that. So what I want to do here is I want to put an X next to C because musculocutaneous nerve is likely to be impaired. All right, hold on. Let's take a look at D and make sure that this one's right. Posterior interosseous nerve. For those of you unfamiliar with this, sometimes this is known as the pen nerve. It's completely motor. It's a motor nerve, and it's found on the posterior side of that forearm. Now, what does this muscle do? I should say, what does this nerve do? It focuses on the wrist extensors, all right? That's its primary goal, is the muscles that are on the back of the forearm and the wrist extensors. So here's the thing. In the question, does it say anything about how the wrist extensors are weak or any muscles on the posterior side of the arm are weak? No, it doesn't anywhere. So it's the least likely nerve to be affected, posterior interosseous nerve. So I'm going to go with the best answer, the final answer of D as in dog, posterior interosseous nerve. Congratulations to those of you who got the question correct. Congratulations to those of you who learned something from this one. Oh my gosh, let me tell you, this is something that you definitely need to know for the NPTE, is these nerves that are innervating muscles of the arm, the forearm, the hand. This is a hot topic for the NPTE. And we got to know, okay, which nerves innervate what? Because when they give you signs and symptoms, you got to be able to pick out like, no, this nerve is not affected. Yes, this nerve is affected. You're going to have to do that. And posterior interosseous nerve is one of the ones that they like to hit on. All right. So spend a little time here. This is huge. Now, if you are somebody who comes down to the final two answers, maybe you had that gut instinct, right? You were like, I really feel like it's D. Something's telling me that is D, but I'm going to go ahead with B, or I'm going to go ahead with A, or I'm going to go ahead with C. If that is what happened in this question, or you have seen that happen in the past, I want you to know that this is a problem that can be fixed. A lot of times it comes down to, yes, trusting your gut, but there's a reason why you're not trusting your gut. A lot of times it's because of trusting yourself. Some type of past experience has taught you that you can't trust your gut. That if you go with that, a lot of times you're wrong. Well, we got to work you out of that. And that's what we do in stage two. I should say level two of my test taking strategy. All right. So right now you are learning stage or level one right now. This is the podcast where we're going through questions and getting you used to how to process through a question. If you're somebody that wants to start breaking down problems that you're having, like getting down to the final two, not knowing which one to pick, the first step that I need you to take is to join our free private Facebook group. All right. That's where we go over tips and tricks. But I also introduce you to level two, where we break down all your problems that you're having related to test taking. All right. So join us over www.npteGroup.com. Again, that's www.npteGroup.com. Don't wait. Plug it into your phone when you're safe. If you're on the road, pull off on the side. Wait till you get to clinic. Plug that in your phone, all right? I would love to get you in there. Love to show you exactly how you can dominate questions like this and get a really great score on the NPTE. Sounds good? All right, all right. And for those of you who are looking for cheat sheets, y'all, I'm pumping out new ones. I'm so excited about this because so many people say, hey, I just got your cheat sheets and my scores automatically went up tremendously. I get messages like that every single week, all right? So you can go ahead and get your free cheat sheets that I developed for you. Go to www.mptecheatsheets.com, all right? Like I said, I'm producing new ones as well. So go check that out. So whether you're on iTunes, Spotify, Ghana, Overbreak, wherever you're at in podcast land, go into the show notes, click the link in there, and you can get it. Hi, this is Kyle, and thanks for downloading the podcast. I always enjoy spending this time with you, and I hope that you leave today feeling motivated and with a better understanding. Make sure to subscribe to get new mock NPTE questions each week. I deeply appreciate your support. It helps keep this mission going. And as I always say, keep learning, stay committed. I'll see you next time.